So much for the opportunity that you grant us to gather here together as your people and worship thee. Father, it's our prayer that our worship here today will be acceptable unto thy sight. Father, we're thankful that you gave us a measure of health to gather here together. Father, we're thankful for everything you do for us. Father, we're thankful that you've given us the Bible that can serve as a map for our life. Father, we're thankful that we have Brother Tom, who is willingness to, and his willingness to lead us in song. And Father, we pray that your continued blessings be upon him and his family. Father, we're thankful that you sent Brother Robert our way. And Father, we pray for your continued blessings upon him and his family as well. And Father, we're thankful for Brother Sean and all the things that he does at camp. And Father, we're thankful that that we have the Sardis Lake Christian Camp so close to us. And Father, we're thankful for all the lives that it has touched and will touch in the future. Father, we're mindful of those on our sick list. Father, we pray that you would bless those and bless those that are taking care of them. And Father, we want to continue our prayer for Jason and the Spencer family, Father. Pray that you would bless and strengthen them as only you can. Father, we're mindful of those that are bereaving at this time. Father, we pray for Father, we pray that you would comfort them. Father, we pray that you would go with us now through the remainder of our worship service here today and throughout our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 167. 167.
All nature sings and round me rings.
Brother Bourne.
I'm glad to be with you this morning. A little cool. I don't know when this cool weather's going to stop. We're trying to get some stuff done at camp, and every time I get started on something, it's too cold to do it. And at some point in time, I've got to turn the water back on. And some things I need to do, I need to do that until I get the water, like pressure wash it. And a little too cold to be pressure washed anyway. So this morning, what I wanted to share with you, I wanted to tie in a little bit about camp and give you a report of what we had done at camp. I know you remember last time I was with you, we were talking about a remodeling camp. So I wanted to kind of tie that together this morning with a lesson and give you a little something to go with there. So this morning, what I was going to talk about, as Brother Robert alluded to, was Nehemiah and challenges. I'll never forget my first ministry position. And I was so excited about it because I thought, man, this is going to be like Disneyland every day. It's going to be the happiest place on earth. I'm about to go work in an office full of Christian people. I'm leaving behind the secular world and all the stuff that was with it. And I worked in the Bay Area of San Francisco. They'll give you any idea of what I worked in. Okay? So when I came over to the Valley and I was going to work in this ministry position, this was going to be like Disneyland. This is going to be the happiest place on earth. I think I broke up 2 office fights my first day. Groups of Christians. And so anytime you start doing the Lord's work, whether it is in a paid ministry position, a lay ministry position, or you're just out there spreading the gospel, you're going to run into challenges. It's just the nature of the beast. That's the world we live in. It's the fallen world. So this morning, you want me to run that, or you? Next slide. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about challenges. One of my favorite verses, I tell everybody, one of my grandmothers was just told me, she said, son, if you'll read the book of James and understand the book of James, you'll never have any trouble learning how to be a Christian. And so it's always one of my favorite ones, but count it all joy, my brother, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And that's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. So we started to do a remodel of camp. We were going to do a kind of big undertaking. And it was not without its perils, and it was not without its fraught. And I thought, man, we're down here in Mississippi, everybody's going to jump in and join the club. And I had quite a few people tell me what I was going to do, couldn't be done. And I kind of knew it had to be done. We looked, I'll never forget, the year before we did the remodel, we had one counselor. I couldn't find him. And finally, I get ready to call the search party, I know, and he had been laying underneath the shed on a table. About Thursday, he had gotten so hot and dehydrated and tired, that's where he was laying. Poor guy could not get cool for nothing. And knew something had to be done. So our undertaking was a little large. We had to remodel 14 buildings. And what we took over next was kind of looking at, and I always say God's perfect plan, looks like a commission, doesn't come without challenges. God's perfect plan doesn't come without challenges, and miraculously, they don't disappear just because we're on His clock. Faith in God's plans and remembering His words are essential for completing our task. And those who carry burdens, so if you look at Nehemiah, you'll turn in your Bible, Nehemiah 4, verse 4. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each laid on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles, to the officials, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and God is great. But here's that great of the law. Far from one another, in the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So I want you to imagine what the book is about. They can't just do the work. Now, how many of you ever done construction? I do it on a regular basis. My job entails it, and then when people know you can do the construction, they've always got somebody saying, you know what my house to do this for me. If you've ever done construction long enough, you know it's hard enough to do construction with just the tools you have to have. I carry a tool belt around my waist that weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 50 pounds, depending on what I have in. My hammer is nearly 2 pounds just by itself. So you've got all these tools that you're having to work with to start with, and now somebody's having to strap a sword on your side. You're having to carry your armor, you're having to carry your shield in case something happens. It makes a task a little harder. In the Christian world, we're always called to have these tasks, but is it ever, as I said before, when you're on God's clock, does it make the job any easier? No, the task is a task. We as Christians are called to do it. And then sometimes we're handicapped along the way as we're doing it. I'll share with you on the next slide one of the tasks we had to do. Those are some of the old cabins we had. That's what we had, and our task was to move.
You see that? Okay.
Yes, I'm good. Took us about 2 weeks, got them on there, got them out with some heavy equipment and a truck. That was some of our redneck engineering we used. Those are 4x4 or 8x8s and an axle that we borrowed off of something else. And that's the finished product. Moved 300 yards across campus so that we could use it. The task was great. I was told by multiple people it was impossible to be done, but I had to have it done because we had to even out the numbers on camp to make things work. And like I said, I was told it couldn't be done. We were told it couldn't be done. So the task was rather large, but we went about it. And I knew this was something that would benefit and help God's ministry. People would tell you it would. And so they were all willing to do it. So we were handicapped in the way that we had a large task to do to move that building and not tear it up and still get it done. And I said, it's in life, we're going to have that no matter what ministry position you're working for. The next thing I'd like to talk about is resources. Nothing's possible without resources. When you're doing the Lord's work, you have to have the resources. Every congregation hates the giving speech. When you get the speech about tithing, right? Nobody wants to hear all the preachers asking for more money. Got to have more money. Resources are just one of those things you have to have. And money, unfortunately, in this day and age, that's the driving resource to get a lot of things done. Always go out and ask for things to get stuff done. Read Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. He said, "And I said to the king, it pleases the king, let letters be given to me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to ask for the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me." I don't even want to start to equate what I had to do to what this guy had to do. You start thinking about going and getting beans across the other side of the river, and their day and age, what they had to do. Nehemiah had to go to the king and ask for this. And he was granted to him, and this is what he used to build it. But resources are something we always need when we're out doing our work. I was tasked with the job of going out and getting the resources we need to do the remodel. And I came to you guys, and I came to several churches. And we were blessed. We borrowed money to do this remodel. We couldn't raise the funds in time. We wanted to get it done before camp started. And I can say with confidence we are well on our way of paying it off. As soon as we borrowed the money, we had to lower the loan amount 3 times because the money was rolling in so fast. We went from looking at borrowing $150,000 to $90,000. So having the resources and being wise stewards of our resources. When we start into a ministry situation, we have to kind of evaluate what we're doing, what resources are, is it going to take when we start to do something. You've got to get youth done. And with that, you have resources that will be. feeding all the people, housing all the people, and paying people to come, or at least helping cover their expenses for coming. Resources are always something needed when we set out to do the Lord's work. Camp being the same. We have to have some resources and do what we do. Being wise stewards of those resources and taking care of them. One of the resources I was blessed with even having there was the ability to do electrical work. We got halfway through and we realized that the electrical bid was way more than it was going to wind up being. $30,000 more. And I was blessed with the ability to be an electrician. And so having said that, one of the resources was being able to go in and work on some of these cabins and not have to pay extra money. So resources are your time, your materials, and also your monies. And continue the Lord's work in that regard. Finally, we look at help. We sometimes like when the Calvary shows up. How many of you have been saved in a time of need when the right friend or the right one shows up? Nehemiah says in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." Blessed are the people that show up in a time of need. I know I was down to the last two weeks before I had it, and a crew of guys showed up out of the blue and said, "We want to help you get some stuff done." And if it was nothing more than we had enough leftover construction material laid on the ground to choke a mule with, that I could have hauled 10 or 12 dumpsters of old material out, and we still had stuff laid on the ground, and I had no idea how I was going to get it all picked up. And these guys showed up, and we picked up construction material, and we filled up 3 dumpsters in 1 day. And anytime you're involved in the ministry, help is a necessity. And it's great when the help does show up. Giving Brother Robert 1 day off a week, or 1 day off a month, just so he doesn't have to prepare a sermon, that help is always one of those greatest things in the world. I see that in the ministry position, and so do others. Anytime you can show up and teach Sunday school, anytime you can show up... Those of us in ministry, we love our volunteers. It is one of those things that is invaluable. And Nehemiah shows that there. One of the things that they showed up and helped, that's Camp's new store. Got a little color to it, got a little style to it, and we had a couple of guys show up and help me one day get that all wired up and put together and painted. And Camp now have a new store so that we can sell merchandise out of it and Camp a little bit, and also... got your child's toothbrush and toothpaste and deodorant and bug spray, it'll be there for you. Next slide is our opposition. And anytime you're involved in the ministry, there's always some opposition. The devil's still standing there with his bag of tricks ready to pull out what he can, when he can, to not only stoke you, but to just drag things along the way. And we see that a lot in the ministry, and you as Christians see that in your lives as well. The opposition's always there, and it's how you overcome the opposition. If you read Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, "But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night." When the opposition comes, our greatest weapon we can use is prayer. I know every day and all through camp, I pray for strength. I pray for my faith to be strengthened, to keep doing the work. That's what we have to do, not becoming discouraged. And the opposition will come. And it comes in various forms. It comes in all different shapes and sizes, but the opposition is always there. And the opposition is our foe, the devil. And our greatest weapon against that, again, is prayer and uplifting those around us and helping one another. One thing that showed me when our opposition came was halfway through our remodel, we got the snowstorm. And the guys I had helping me were
had two guys, it was me and two other gentlemen that did this, and they're from south the border. They had grown up in a nice little seaside town near a village, and they didn't know what this stuff was. They had never seen it. And they were thin little fellas, and they hated that stuff. They didn't want to get to work till about noon when the sun was at its highest where they could get warm. And we put up with that weather for about a good month. If y'all remember last winter and how long it drug on, we were right in the middle of this. That was camp. Some people never said they'd never seen any snow, and that's what we had. Tons of snow, tons of opposition, and it made for a rough time. But having said all that, we persevered. It was constant prayer every day. It was working through things in faith, and the outcome is great. We get to see the fruits of our labor here on earth. That's the wonderful thing about working in ministry and being Christian. We get to see the fruits of our labor. Nothing we do is about. Everything we do, we have great reward in heaven. But just being able to see the fruits of our labor here, seeing the light and shine of God when we do teach them the gospel. Seeing how they grow, getting to raise our children in a Christian environment. Those are the things we get to see. God doesn't just hold all those things back until the day of judgment when we get to see that. We get to enjoy those fruits here. We get to enjoy them now. And so as I leave you this morning with just a few things. When it comes to ministry and working and seeing things and challenges in life, you go back to James chapter 1. You count it all joy, my brethren. And sometimes it's hard to do. We hear so much about the sickness and death and financial struggles and what these times are. And really realizing what the challenges are so that we can enjoy the things when we see them. I just celebrated my son's second birthday, and I was so happy just to see the one gift that he got. Because we kind of told everybody not to give him a gift, we were giving him one thing. And to see the light in his eye, is worth all the challenges of everything else we've had to raise it. And you look back and see those things as a Christian, when you're doing that work and doing God's work, the challenges that come, but the joys that come, and the good that comes out of it. And the fact that we have a God that blesses us by being able to see that on a daily basis and being able to recognize it and appreciate it. So that's your lesson this morning. I'll leave you with that. The invitation is open. Some of you that are struggling with challenges. There's some of you that have some things on your heart that are difficult to deal with right now, and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters come forward, and those that don't know the Lord yet and want to enjoy the things that we need to enjoy as Christians and see the things here on earth that take beauty in them. The invitation's open at this time. Come on, let's go.
Voice of Jesus said, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call of day. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the truth is I. Open for you the pearly gate, loved one for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late, Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and died. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus, the
I want to mention to you a couple of things. First off, our thanks to Brother Sean for sharing with us the pictures and the information that we have about something that we very much part of being support. And Charles Lake Christian Camp is part of that great work. Thank you for the great work that you're doing in that regard too. It's listed here, and I guess because of just thinking about where he is, little Riley Rainey. And his progress is no doubt due to me, because he came upon, of all the good things going on with him, he came upon the flu. And the Bonner has to deal with that as well, and they do a good job. St. Jude and St. Jude Place. And they'll work with that real well, and I hope real successful for little Riley, you know. We have visiting with us today Mr. Howard Holden. And Mr. Howard goes back a long way with you. If you ever did any shopping in Batesville, you did shopping on the square down that way, you went to Williams Department Store on the corner. Well, he managed Williams Department Store forever and a day. We're glad to have him here and be a part of this service with us. For Jesus is right and is now gone above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day of us to come to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to go to the beach. We're going to let you know this morning. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to go to
good stuff. That works okay?
Yeah.
Good time.
How many people here? 36?
36. Yes, he does. He can't hear you, but he does.
Alex, come here.
Back.